Welcome to our new episode of Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law Offices, where every case is personal. Call 855-DiBella. I'm Bernie Corbett, voice of BU Men's Ice Hockey. Join me and my co-host Kat Cornetta of the Boston Globe all season long as we bring you Inside BU Men's and Women's Hockey. It's time now to drop the puck and go inside BU Hockey. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law. DiBella Law, where every case is personal, and you can call 855-DiBella or go to their website, everycaseispersonal.com. And our coaches segment with Jay Pandolfo, as always, sponsored by CNR Search. CNR Search and our good friend to Boston University Hockey, former netminder Bob Barish. And for more information, you can go to his website. Remember, it's Barish, B-A-R-I-C-H. And our time with Jay Pandolfo as we welcome him in this week with the Terriers getting ready to head up to Orono for the first real extended road trip. Not too many this season as opposed to last year where the Terriers covered some ground from Grand Forks to Belfast to Toledo. Boy, that's the Tri-City area. This year a little bit different on the travel, but the Terriers will get a little bonding experience Halloween weekend in Maine to come. Coach, as we look back to last weekend, you know, once again, I never aspire to be a math guy at this point in my life, but would you say maybe about 75 of 120 good minutes if you factor in the good start on Friday?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close to accurate. Obviously, great start Friday, and then just let our game slip, and it certainly cost us, you know, another disappointing night, a disappointing Friday night. But as a group, we tried to move past that and have a response on Saturday. And I thought we went down to UConn on Saturday and just played a real simple, smart, detailed road game, which you have to do in that building at UConn because it favors the way they play. It's the dimensions and the corners. There, it's just a different type of game you have to play there than you can at Aganis. And we're going to be facing something very similar this weekend up in Maine. Tough place to play. A lot of guys haven't played there, so it'll be a new experience for them. And, you know, they have to have the understanding going in there that we're going to have the same mindset and the same type of game plan that we did versus UConn. And can we go out and execute it and keep it simple and not complicate the game for ourselves? And that's kind of been the message this week, and obviously, clearly, our guys have shown that they can do it when they're willing to. Now it's like, let's see. It's another really good test for us. Like it's not an easy schedule. We had Michigan State, you know, number one team in the country, rightfully so, and I think they are the best team in the country.
Yep.
UConn. A similar roster to last year. They had a great season last year, another tough test, and now Maine, who's, you know, just continues to be on the rise as a program again, and very tough team to play against. Very good defensively, great forechecking team, so tough place to play. So it's another great challenge for our group.
As you talked about, the contrast couldn't have been more stark from the roughly the last 45 minutes of the game Friday to the 60 on Saturday. You referred on Friday, just it's almost a situation you can contrast playing slow as opposed to playing fast. You talked about Friday about playing slow, which leads to turnovers in the defensive zone, that hesitation, it leads to transition the other way, those dreaded turnovers, you know, that 5 feet on either side of the blue line, when you on offensive blue line turnovers that often lead the other way to disaster. And the other word that you use often is connected, and things just seem to be quite simply faster and in terms of decision-making, the puck management, and just more connected on Saturday. I mean, just to watch that game play itself out, it seemed like it wasn't individuals. It seems like guys were really functioning in sync to where you want them to be.
Yeah, definitely. We played as a team on Saturday, which what I really liked was, I mean, the first 15 minutes of that third period when we're up, where we have 2-1 or 3-1.
Two to one, yeah.
We didn't give up a whole lot. It was really good our guys bought into playing a certain way. Yeah, were we getting all sorts of chances for on our end? No, not really. But it's tough to play against them in their building. But we let the game. You know, we took what was in front of us, and that's what I really like to see from our group. And it showed that, you know, when we have that willingness, it's great to see. We protected a lead. We kept it simple. We didn't give up much. You know, a team is down in their own building. They got to push. So, yeah, they pushed a little bit the last 5 minutes, but any chance they did have, obviously Big Mike I thought was excellent in that game. Oh, yeah. So I thought that was really, really good to see, because you have to be able to win games like that, because as you keep moving forward here over the course of the season, you're not going to win. You know, when you start getting into these bigger games, obviously every game's big, but when you start getting into these tighter games, you have to be able to protect leads. You have to be able to win a game 2-1, win a game 3-1. That's how you're going to win.
And in winning hockey, you talked about, you know, the difference and illustrated this weekend between, you've referred to losing hockey and what the ingredients are for that, that you look to avoid in winning hockey. Also the discipline factor, Jay, protected the lead and made sure you protected that lead at 5-on-5. You didn't give them a power play in the third period.
Yeah, much better discipline on Saturday. I think we took maybe two penalties. If I'm not
early.
Mistaken.
Yeah, two power plays.
Way better from that standpoint. And PK was excellent that night as well. And obviously special teams, I mean, really, special teams wins you the game, right? You got two power play goals. You kill both penalty kills that you have. So that's really good to see, because obviously the power play, I think, up to that game on Saturday, it's been struggling quite a bit. And be honest, I wouldn't say it was great. We were opportunistic on Saturday.
Right.
It still wasn't great Saturday. I mean, they pressured us pretty heavily in some of the beginning of those power plays, and it took us a long time to get out of our own end, which we got to do a better job of. And Maine's very similar from a pressure standpoint, pressure up ice.
All over the ice.
So we have to be ready for that. But like I said, it was still important that we did find a way to score two power play goals. So hopefully that gives us a little confidence going into this weekend versus Maine.
And you mentioned probably, you know, you can talk about the tough schedule, and it's there when you're in a conference that put six teams in the NCAA tournament a year ago. But maybe not a bad thing, especially for a young, impressionable group that you have, that you go from the type of building you describe at UConn for one game now to a very similar type of building that you're going to have for an entire weekend up at Maine. And that's a great point, because of how much they pressure and how hard they are on the tandem on your power play rush.
Question is, and I think we had some difficulties, if I recall, last year up there on our power play. So we have to make sure that, you know, we're ready for their pressure and we're ready to respond to it. Like I said, it's still a work in progress. A lot of new pieces on the power play this year. Obviously, some really good ones, but some new ones, and still getting comfortable with each other. And I'm looking forward to, you know, us having a good, you know, another good special teams weekend. Because you need it to win hockey games.
And on the power play, you mentioned some struggles on the power play. You get the two big power play goals on Saturday. The loss of Yzerman, and with teams taking Yzerman away, trying to find other options and guys being able to look to other options in terms of creating opportunities in the power play. Well, suddenly Yzerman was taken away because of the injury earlier in the game. Now you're in a position you have to find other ways to score on the power play, other options, and in order to create offense, and you did.
Yeah, definitely, it's definitely a huge loss from us, you know, just overall, but also from a power play standpoint. With, you know, Yzerman's got a weapon over there. I mean,
yeah.
But you know, I will say the positive here is Sasha Bovera has a pretty big weapon there as well.
Oh, like, yeah.
He'll slide to that spot for us. Obviously, he really just played his second game for us versus UConn. I mean, he tried to come back against Colgate. I think he only lasted 4 minutes, and he gutted through a Michigan State game where he was, you know, he was not, I mean, I don't even want to call him 70% in that game, but he's a tough kid. He gutted through it. So it was really, really only his second game. He played the LIU game, and he played game against UConn on Saturday, and he was very good in all areas, but he's also going to help us on the power play. He's very comfortable playing in that spot as well. And, you know, Camille Benarek has kind of slid from the, I guess you call it the first PP to the second PP. He's very good in the middle of the ice in the bumper position. He made a terrific play on and then we beat their pressure, finding the weak side, and obviously McLaughlin had a great finish.
And McLaughlin, just to refer to him, he's our Terrier profile this week, and I introduced him as the senior, and the senior on this team, playing his fourth year of college hockey, and bringing the experience that he brings. He played in his 121st college hockey game, which I think if you add up about, I don't know how many guys, maybe the entire team hasn't played 121 games of college hockey. It's pretty close. But his ability to step up, you saw the example of his production and how valuable he can be to this team with his 3-1-4 weekend, including the game winner on Saturday night.
Yeah, he had a great weekend for us. He's getting better and better. You come from a new program, it's going to take some time to adjust and just feel comfortable. You can see every game he's getting better, which is great to see. He's been good for us in the middle of the ice, but he has played with Beauvais in the past at North Dakota, and they really seem to have really good chemistry together. So we decided to slide him over to the wing, and I think you saw that line was excellent for us, and we saw that in practice. They've been practicing together, Beauvais, Harvey, and McLaughlin, even though Beauvais wasn't completely healthy and ready to play on Friday. He did practice, I think, for 3 days with those guys, and they were very impressive in practice. So, and it carried over to the game on Saturday. So great to see that line clicking pretty well. And that's the reason we kind of moved McLaughlin over there, and also getting Svoboda back in the middle of the ice, which he started, I think, the first 5 games on the wing. So we got him back in the middle. He's more comfortable there. I think it helps our overall depth up front.
And speaking of the depth up front and the depth on the offensive side, Jack Harvey getting off the proverbial schneid with 2 goals, and it looks like he's primed to really bust out. Once again, Jay, you know what it's like if you struggle, if you're in a little bit of a drought with the puck not going in the net for you, all of a sudden you find that confidence, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, confidence really certainly helps, and you're feeling good about yourself, feeling good about your game. It just it's a lot easier out there. Things kind of slow down for you. You know, you kind of see, you know, you see the plays a lot easier. He's a great player for us. I know, you know, his first whatever 5-6 games, he didn't find even the score sheet, never mind the back of the net. And he stayed positive with it. We knew it's going to come. I mean, he's just too good a player. But when he's feeling good, I think we've all seen it, and he has confidence. I mean, he's a dangerous player, and he can really help your production offensively. So it was great to see that. Great to see him, you know, get 2 goals there, 2 really nice goals, you know, 1 going to the net, which was huge for us, finding a way, you know, just to clean up around the net, which we need more of, no question. I know it's power, but we need more of that 5-on-5, and then obviously great faceoff play and a great release and shot there. So real happy that he got 2 goals. I think his confidence is going to build from there, and he's going to be real important for us over the course of the next few games coming up.
You refer to a great team effort on Saturday, and really team as in everybody involved, everybody that come over the bench, 1 through 4. I can't help it. Mark and I, we talk a lot about singing the praises of just John Morello. I mean, that fourth line the other night with what they did in terms of knowing their roles and being able to perform and execute their roles. But that fourth line with McNellis and Morello and, the three M's with Merrill, all were really, really effective within their game and with what you're looking for them to bring each night.
Yeah, they can really have an impact for our team. All very good forecheckers, all skate really well, all are very disruptive on the forecheck, creating turnovers, creating chances. Yeah, I thought they were all excellent. I mean, John McNellis, first 5 games, especially the last couple, or last 3 or 4, before this past weekend, he was getting limited ice time. And it was more just, had really nothing to do with his play. It just had to do with kind of the circumstances we were going with over the course of some games, and he just was limited there. I thought he had an excellent weekend this past weekend. And part of it is because he's playing. You know, he's getting the ice time. He's getting confidence. He's feeling good about himself. And you know, sometimes it's the player can't control what the coach does from an ice time standpoint. The only controls what you do when you're out there. And I thought this weekend he was excellent for us. Real happy to see that. I don't think we need to tell them. I think they know, which is, that's what you need. You need players to have an understanding of what their identity is for your team and what their role is. And both of those guys have done a terrific job up to this point.
Yeah, I think they all really, all three of them, and I think the way McNellis has stepped out with how quick he is and hot on the forecheck and getting the defenseman and being disruptive. I look at those guys. I'm giving you about 60 years here as kind of prototypical BU forwards. We could sit here, we won't, but we could sit here and list names, guys that you played with, guys decades before you, guys since you, that all kind of fit the profile. This is how you want your BU forwards to be playing.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you need guys to play that way if you want to win. So they're a good example for some other guys. Sometimes playing like that can just get your game going. Maybe you're a little bit more of an offensive-tilted player, but if things aren't going well, how about, you know, just getting in on the forecheck, having a good stick, be physical, win your battles. And that's what those guys did. They led by example on Saturday. And, you know, it was really good to see. I thought they had a huge impact on that game, and I think they will continue to as long as they're getting the ice time they deserve, which sometimes coach doesn't always make the right decision. So I definitely need to get those guys out there even more. So good to see those guys have some success. And I thought overall our leadership group led the way Saturday as well.
Stepped up.
Obviously, Eiserman went out with the injury, which was tough to see. But the other three guys I thought really stepped up. They were real positive on the bench. They really all played very well. Cole Hudson, McCarthy, and Jack Harvey, which was great to see too. Because there's no question, like, we're a young team. We need those guys to lead by example.
No doubt. The forwards really, I think, really accepting and executing in terms of the roles that you have your expectations for in order to be successful, you know, individually to collectively. Just a last point on the defense and on the defensive side. Well, you know it from year to year, particularly when you're bringing guys in, you're implementing guys that are new to college hockey. But just an overall kind of a broad strokes as far as how the defense has developed and progressed in your eyes and the eyes of the coaching staff. It's always a little bit more of a work in progress on the guys on the defensive side just because of the responsibility they have and the pressure that they have on them.
Yeah, it's always a lot harder for defensemen, especially young ones, coming in first-time college hockey compared to a forward. A forward can get away with a lot more mistakes than a defenseman can. And you're under the microscope as a D. You know, one mistake can, you know, end up in the back of your net. I think it's a work in progress for our back end. It's a really young group. You got, you know, three freshmen playing every night. So it's a lot to ask. I think they're all improving. Mm-hmm. I think when our veterans are playing really well, it helps them. When you get Hudson and McCarthy playing real well, Sasha Bomidian, I guess you can call him a veteran, even though he's really only 18 years old.
18.
But and he's playing well, and Aiden Celebrini, who I thought was excellent this weekend against UConn. When those guys are leading the way, it's going to help the other three guys out that are, you know, still finding their way in the college game. But I do see positives coming from all those guys.
And the final word, everybody asking about, obviously, everybody in Terrier Nation, you know, Eiserman, what about Eiserman, how long? I guess my guess compared to when I spoke to you briefly on Saturday, better than expected right now in terms of maybe the time that he's going to miss in terms of his return?
Yeah, I got some really positive news yesterday afternoon too. So I don't want to put a timeline on it.
Yeah.
I'm very positive that it's going to be sooner rather than later. I think I mentioned that yesterday. Like, he's not going to play this weekend. I'm not going to rule him out next weekend yet, put it that way.
Okay.
Not saying he's going to play, but I'm not ruling him out. So that's a positive. It's going to just be day to day to see how he responds and how he feels. That's really all it's going to come down to. There's nothing major. So I think we'll see him back pretty soon, which will be, you know, huge. And I know for him, he was pretty disappointed and, obviously a little nervous and upset, didn't know exactly what's going to happen. And the news he got yesterday, I think, was real positive. And I know his spirits are really good. He's itching to get back. And so looking forward to
It absolutely be great. It'd be great to get this club completely healthy. I think everybody in Terrier Nation to have now Boisvert getting back to 100% and get Big Rook back in there and get Eisenman back in there, hopefully not too far down the road. Well, the road takes us to Maine, Jay, so, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. I think this will be the first time the Terriers have been in Orono and in Alphond on Halloween. I mean, I haven't decided if I'm going to bring a 9 or a 19 jersey. I figure maybe I'll go out trick-or-treating as either Montgomery or Korea. What do you think?
Yeah, be careful up there.
As always, there's no other way to be in Maine, Jay. Thanks very much.
Yep. All right, buddy. Thanks, Bernie.
We'll see you up north. Jay Pandolfo, head coach of the Terriers, with our time with him. Our time, of course, is sponsored by our good friend Bob Barish, former Terrier netminder, Barich at CNR Search, here on Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law. DiBella Law, where every case is personal. You can go to their website, everycaseispersonal.com, or call 855-DiBella. CNR Search is an executive search firm specializing within the life science and biotech industries. The CNR Search mission is to provide outstanding leadership solutions by identifying and evaluating the most qualified candidates for their client organizations. If you're a candidate or company seeking executive search solutions, reach out to Bob Barish at cnrsearch.com. That's Bob, B-A-R-I-C-H, at cnrsearch.com. CNR Search, winners joining winners. Proud sponsor of Boston University Hockey.
After an accident, you need your attorney to understand what you're going through, and I do.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. Here, every case is personal.
Because of my brother's accident, I built a firm that treats clients like family.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. We understand.
Welcome back to Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law. At DiBella Law, every case is personal. Call 855-DiBella or visit their website, everycaseispersonal.com. My name is Kat Cornetta, and I am here for Inside BU Hockey's weekly chat with Terriers women's hockey head coach, Tara Watchhorn. This weekend, the Terriers take on Northeastern for a doubleheader. They play at Walter Brown Arena at 6 p.m. on Halloween, and then travel to Matthews Arena for one of the last times in its current state on Saturday afternoon at 3.
So, first off, you earned a 4-2 win over UNH last Friday, first win of the season. It was a bit back and forth at the beginning there. What really pushed you all over the finish line?
I think our attention to detail and focus on our team strategy, and then having our individual ownership within that, we change well, we build momentum. And I think over time, like even you look at our shot count midway through the first and it's still pretty low, but you still feel like we had momentum. And I think when you play a style like that, it's going to add up over time. And I think we stuck to our game plan and it paid off.
Lucy Theisen, a freshman, got her first collegiate goal against UNH. How is she adjusting to the college game?
Yeah, she's definitely coming along. It's I think she's getting comfortable just in the team setting, within our team concepts, and she's starting to be able to use her skill within that. I liked her paired with Kira Healy this past weekend as well, and definitely taking a step and in the right direction.
Michelle Posesnik got her win in goal, had 27 saves. What did you like out of her game against UNH?
Yeah, a long time coming for sure. And I think we settled in front of her, which was part of it. But also, she played a really calm style where she's still making the saves you don't think she's going to make. But then, smothering some key saves on our PK and really being calm in the net and playing the puck when we need her to. So just a well-rounded game from her. And like I said, a long time coming for her first one.
And this week is a Hockey East Championship rematch against Northeastern. Two games against Northeastern Friday and Saturday. What do you see as Northeastern's strengths, and what are your plans? Well, you can't divulge all your plans, of course, but what are you thinking about kind of meeting those challenges from them?
Yeah, a lot of speed up and down their lineup, but ability and a skill set to execute and transition, at the highest speed. And I think that it's going to force you to be detailed. They can really get it on the forecheck and cause havoc. So it's sticking to our game plan, being patient and finding ways to build momentum over time to, produce that offense for us as a group of five.
And it'll be Saturday night will be, I think, one of your last games ever at Matthews Arena as it stands right now. What are some of your memories about playing at Matthews?
Yeah, to be honest, as a player and coach, not as many wins as I would have liked, but loved last season getting the win there. About a week after the Bean Pot final when we lost, we ended up beating them in overtime at Matthews Arena following that. So that was a big team win for us, and actually playing against Harvard in the Bean Pot semi, getting a big overtime win. Some good memories at Matthews.
And you're facing Dave Flint, their longtime head coach. What is it like when you're facing a head coach that you, as a coach, that you also faced when you were a player?
Yeah, it's even funny when I think back to Brad Frost too at the beginning of this season playing Minnesota. So a coach that's been around the game for a long time, but obviously so much respect, and it hits you that just how young you are in your career, I think, in those moments. But definitely really cool to match up and see. He's a great coach that has his team playing a good system and gets them to buy in. So always a good game.
And my last question has nothing to do with hockey. You'll be playing on Halloween. And of course, I have to ask, what was your favorite Halloween costume when you were a kid?
I don't know. I wasn't as excited as a kid for Halloween, so I don't know if I can, but I think last year when we got to be Penguins as a coaching staff, still is gonna go as my highlight. That was a dream getting to be a Penguin on the ice. It was really cool. And we had some fun ones this past spooky series as well that we do every Halloween.
And do you still have the penguin costume?
They are kicking
Or
around here somewhere. I'm trying to find an excuse to bust them out.
excellent. Well, best of luck this weekend.
Awesome. Thank you.
CNR Search is an executive search firm specializing within the life science and biotech industries. The CNR Search mission is to provide outstanding leadership solutions by identifying and evaluating the most qualified candidates for their client organizations. If you're a candidate or company seeking executive search solutions, reach out to Bob Barish at cnrsearch.com. That's Bob, Barich, at cnrsearch.com. CNR Search, winners joining winners. Proud sponsor of Boston University Hockey.
After an accident, you need your attorney to understand what you're going through, and I do.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. Here, every case is personal.
Because of my brother's accident, I built a firm that treats clients like family.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. We understand.
Well, welcome everyone, and welcome back to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law, where every case is personal. Call 855-DiBella or go to their website, everycaseispersonal.com. And our players segment this week, our player profile, which is sponsored by Wicked Bagel and our friends at Wicked Bagel with their locations in Woburn, Lexington, and Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily, Wicked Bagel. And very pleased to have with us a senior, that's right, folks, a senior, I said that three times, the transfer who came over from the North Dakota Fighting Hawks program for his fourth season of college hockey out of Spring City, Pennsylvania, seeing time both at left wing and center, and they're very pleased to have Owen McLaughlin. Owen, welcome to the show. Great to have you here. Great to have you in Boston.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Well, the reason I stress the word senior is kind of a unique situation with this very young Boston University team, with some 14 newcomers to the program this year, that you are actually the most experienced member of the team playing your fourth season of college hockey.
Yeah, pretty well.
Yeah, the little bit of a different spin, if you will, that the fact that you've got the experience, and your experience coming the first 3 years in the NCHC, which is highly competitive, and I'm sure allows you to bring a lot to Hockey East in making this transition.
Yeah, my 3 years there have definitely helped gain some experience, and we do have a younger team, but I think each week we're kind of learning about ourselves, and the young guys are taking taking good steps each week. Coming to college is a bit of an adjustment, and they've been doing a really good job. So hopefully we can keep up how we played on Saturday and just keep it rolling.
But you find yourself in the position that you're in, kind of a natural being drawn to more of a leadership role on this team with all those young guys and just trying to set an example for everybody, I'm sure, both on and off the ice.
Yeah, for sure. I think when you have so many young guys, you know, naturally just being one of the older guys, you know, you feel a little bit more responsibility of, you know, doing things the right way, even the little things, coming prepared to practice, being detailed in the gym, stuff like that. So it's honestly helped me be more aware of, you know, what I'm doing, and, you know, people are probably watching or looking for what the older guys are doing. So, you know, just being aware of that, I think, has helped me grow as a leader as well.
Yeah, 117 games at North Dakota, 84 points, productive through three seasons. And truth be told, you actually, I remember, was a great weekend of college hockey. Had the experience of coming and playing at a Gannis Arena 2 years ago. What do you remember about that and those two matches?
Yeah, I remember they were both really good games. It was early in the season. BU won on Friday, and we won in overtime on Saturday, but it was a good weekend, and yeah, it was fun playing in a Gannis.
Was that the first time that you'd ever had an opportunity to play at a Gannis? I know you were at Mount St. Charles program down in Rhode Island. Did you ever have a chance to skate there prior to that?
Yeah, no, that was my first time skating at a Gannis. I've been to a Gannis a few times, you know, mm-hmm. just growing up and being in Boston a lot, but that was the first time skating on it, so it was pretty cool.
No, definitely allow you to make the most of it now with Gannis being your home. And
yeah.
No doubt. No, things changed pretty dramatically, and great weekend that you're coming off of against UConn. A split for the Terriers. A lot of that going on around college hockey. I'm sure you take a look at the scores. It's amazing, you know, you being in your fourth season and observing college hockey just around the country, and knowing, you know, once again how competitive the NCHC Hockey East. But seems like that's been pretty much the pattern. It's been tough for teams to sweep other teams this year so far, Owen.
Yeah, no, I think college hockey is a little different, especially with all the CHL guys. Is, you know, every team can compete. There's a ton of depth in college this year, so you really can't take any team lightly. Any team can beat you on any night. So, you know, I think that's something that we've learned pretty quickly coming into the season. And yeah, we got to be ready to play. Doesn't matter who we're playing. We just have to be ready to go every night.
Final result was certainly not what the Terriers wanted on Friday, but it was a great start, and you got off to a great start. It must have been kind of a little bit of a sigh of relief, you know, you being an offensive player and a guy who's had success scoring goals. You got that first one early in the first period. Just take us through that, and the defensemen Celebrini and Hudson assisted and helped set you up for that one.
Yeah, honestly, you know, just the puck was kind of on the outside. I kind of ended up just going to the net, and yeah, Aiden made a great pass to the net, and got a ton of net to shoot at. So it was a great play by him.
And followed that up later on with your second goal. So you got one, and sometimes that's all it takes to break loose. And you got one. You got your second one pretty quickly to get the Terriers the lead back early in the second.
Yeah, that was a great play by Harv. Coming around the net, you know, another one where there was just a ton of net to shoot at. But, you know, getting goals early in the period as a team is big for momentum and setting the tone for the period. So, yeah, it was huge to get a goal like that.
And then, of course, Friday, not the results that Terriers wanted. And Saturday, going on the road for the first time, it's kind of unusual. You played, if you include the exhibition game with RPI, your first seven at home, but made the most of the road opportunity. And for you on Saturday, an opportunity to reunite with Sasha Boisvert, your former Fighting Hawk teammate from Grand Forks. You guys had actually spent a lot of time over the season last year. You guys had spent a considerable amount of time playing on the same line.
Yeah, especially at the end of the year, we played a lot together, played power play together. So, you know, we have some pretty good chemistry of knowing where the puck's going to go and where we're going to be. So, he was a a little banged up, so I took some face offs and stuff, but yeah, it was pretty easy playing with him. He makes a lot of good plays all over the ice. So,
and with Jack Harvey on the right side, a guy that you seem to have gained some chemistry and simpatico with.
Yeah, no, he sees the ice really well, and he makes a lot of good plays. So playing with a guy like that is, you know, just gotta try and find some ice, be ready for passes at all time, and yeah, he had a great weekend as well. So.
Any preference playing on the left side or playing in the middle with Boisvert out? You really was able to fill in and spend a considerable amount of time at the center position with the Terry's a little depleted there.
Yeah, in our system, it's pretty much the first guy back's playing low. So, once the puck drops, it's kind of positionless hockey, if that makes sense, for the forwards. So
mm-hmm.
It's not really a tough adjustment. And, you know, just trying to get some more reps on the wall and hone in on my details of that. But, yeah, other than that, it's been a good adjustment.
And came from the USHL to North Dakota. Had great success there in Sioux Falls, where the Terriers visited for the regional going back a year ago, with Clark Cup Championship and a prominent part of that playing in that league. So you've had championship success at other levels on the way to college hockey.
Yeah, that team we had in Sioux City was awesome. We still keep in touch with those guys, and the coaching staff was great. So, that was a great season, and I think I learned a lot about playing winning hockey and, you know, knowing when there's times to go for it, when there's times to kind of just, you know, settle down and settle into the game and play simple. So, that was a pretty big year for me and my growth and learning how to play hockey the right way.
You had a guy there that had a pedigree at Boston University with Devin Kaplan. So Devin must have told you a lot about the BU hockey experience and prompted you in the transfer portal.
Yeah, no, I talked to him a lot when I was making the decision, and you know, he had nothing but great things to say about the school, the hockey program, the coaches, all the guys. It just seemed like a great fit for me, and I've been loving it so far.
And coming from Pennsylvania, once again, you were at Mount St. Charles, so not that far down the road in Rhode Island. You mentioned coming to Boston for tournaments, etc. So you did have some familiarity with Boston. It wasn't as much of a shock for you from Grand Forks to Boston.
Yeah, no, Boston feels a lot more like my hometown. And, you know, I've been in Boston a lot growing up. My brother went to school up here, so it's a lot more familiar. And I feel like I'm more of a city guy than more of a rural area. So Boston's been great, and I've been loving it.
Yeah, big difference between Grand Forks, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And Spring City, Pennsylvania, fairly a small town there, but close to the city. I think fairly close to what, to Philadelphia, though, not that far down the road.
Yeah, it's about 30, 40 minutes, depending on the traffic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had... And also going back, a legendary hockey program at the Hill School, Mount St. Charles and the Hill School, both on your resume.
Yep.
A lot of great great hockey in those two programs. Opportunity to go on the road with the Terriers this week, and not a lot of road action for the Terriers over the course of the regular season, but this will certainly make it up this weekend with two up in Maine. Your thoughts? Probably the first time. I don't think you played North Dakota. You'd play Maine, so it'd be the first time heading up to Orono. Trust me, I've been up there a few times, though, and that place will be rocking this weekend.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of videos on it. The rink and the environment looks really cool. But, you know, I think it's a really good opportunity for us as a team to try and build off how we played on Saturday. We know it's going to be tough, physical, and a good brand of hockey that they play. It's going to be loud. So, I think going on road trips with the guys and finding ways to win is kind of how you get closer as a group. You know, it's kind of just you guys and everyone in the building's rooting against you. So hopefully we can bring the same level of play that we did this past Saturday up there. And, it's a big opportunity for us.
No doubt. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, drafted by the Flyers. I'm assuming you're probably a Flyers fan?
Yep, yeah.
Yep.
Whole family.
Yep. So you get drafted by the hometown team. Not a bad situation for you.
Yeah.
And in the school. Cool. And in the school of communications. If anything I can help you out with, just let me know.
Will do.
Okay. Owen, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you in Orono this week and Halloween in Orono for the Terriers.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Owen McLaughlin, our guest here. He's our Terrier profile this week. Terrier senior forward. I'm just going to say forward out of Spring City, Pennsylvania, via the North Dakota program and coming to Boston. And here on Inside BU Hockey, Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law, where every case is personal. And Owen and his profile, sponsored by Wicked Bagel. We'll be back. It takes a crazy bagel lover to make the best and freshest bagels. And that's who you will find at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel features only hand-rolled New York-style bagels crafted with precision and love to meet your high standards at their three locations: 171 Mass Ave, Lexington, 345 Washington Street, Woburn, and now open at 68 School Street, Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. Wicked Bagel.
After an accident, you need your attorney to understand what you're going through, and I do.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. Here, every case is personal.
Because of my brother's accident, I built a firm that treats clients like family.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. We understand.
Welcome back to Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law Offices, where every case is personal. Call 855-DiBella. Our Terrier Woman's Profile this week is brought to you by Wicked Bagel. Baked fresh, baked daily, with locations in Lexington, Woburn, and Watertown. I'm joined today by sophomore Kaylee Quigg. Welcome to BU Hockey. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So we're going to start off with a few little fast facts about yourself so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better. Okay, first question, do you have any pregame rituals?
Yeah, I actually have a lot. I always get to the rink at least 3 hours before the game. I always Normatec at least 15 to 30 minutes before every game. I tape all three of my sticks before every game, grip tape and blade. I always drink the same energy drink or whatever before the game. I sit in the same seat in the stands. I eat the same food all the time before games. And I listen to the same songs. So there's actually a lot.
Is there a specific song you listen to?
Like, it's just a bunch of random music I've been listening to, like, since I started playing, like, not even since I started playing hockey, but just, like, accumulated on a playlist. But yeah, that's really it. And I wouldn't even say it's necessarily superstitions. It just makes me feel more confident, like I'm prepared sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's good, having a routine so you just really feel like you're prepared for the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It seems a little superstitious, but like I get where you're coming from. Do you have any pets?
Yeah, I have a cat. His name is Boris. He's like 14 years old now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is he a childhood pet?
Yes, I got him when I was like six.
Okay, wow. So he's been there for a long time.
Yes.
So you're majoring in Questrom, correct?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Do you have a favorite class you've taken so far?
The class I'm currently in is law. It's like contract laws. And I want to go to law school after my undergrad. So it's been the most interesting class so far for me.
Awesome. Going to law school, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Fact I didn't know about you.
Pardon?
Oh, I didn't know that about you. That's very
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. It's like super random. No one ever like expects that.
Yeah. And do you have a favorite hockey movie?
I guess like a classic would have to be Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't really, other than that, I can't think of one really.
I guess
yeah.
Miracle on Ice.
I'm Canadian,
oh,
so
I'm
I wouldn't
sorry.
say Miracle on Ice. Not that I don't think it's a good movie, it's just definitely not my favorite.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Canada, growing up there, did you feel like any pressure to play hockey? What originally got you into it?
Well, my dad got me into hockey. I wouldn't say there was any pressure. I liked it. I did figure skating first, actually, and then got into like playing hockey at like 4 or 5. But I actually played a lot of golf, like a lot. If things had been different, I think I may have tried to go to school for golf or soccer. But yeah, hockey just always felt natural to me. Everyone plays hockey growing up, all my friends, everybody. And it was my favorite, and I stuck with it. And yeah.
At what point did you stop playing soccer and golf?
I stopped playing soccer. I never stopped playing golf.
Okay.
I feel like as a hockey player, it's almost like a rite of passage too. Like once the season's over, you kind of take your bag out and you just start golfing in like May. So, or even before then. But yeah, hockey was just always like the one consistent thing though. And I love hockey, so I wouldn't really have it any other way.
Are there any golf courses nearby in Boston that you would go to?
I've tried to set up some with one of my teammates last year at like Julia Shaughnessy. But I haven't made it out. I actually did have my clubs here in the spring, but I'm hoping that next year, or if I stay over the summer, I'll get a chance to try some. I'd be really excited to do that, so.
Yeah, I'm not a golfer, so not familiar if there's anything even close to the city. And now, why BU? What brought you here to Boston?
I throughout my process, I mean, recruitment is kind of like all over the place. But I wanted to live in a city. That was one of the really big things on top of my list. I'm from a very small town in Ontario, so that was important to me. And then also I wanted to be at a hockey school. I know coming to the States, a lot of schools are football programs, that's their main sport, or basketball. But one thing I really loved about BU is that hockey is the number one thing here. And especially for women's hockey, we do get good fans and we have really great support. Our program is very, very well supported. And that was just a really awesome thing coming in as a recruit and seeing that. I also really loved how they've taken this program. I mean, Coach Watchhorn has done such an amazing job, and I remember talking to her through my recruitment, and that was honestly the coach makes the place as well. It was such a huge part of your experience here. And then yeah, it was just everything fell into place, and I'm very happy how it all did and very happy to be here.
Yeah, definitely. Did you ever watch BU games growing up? Were you familiar with the team and program?
Yeah, I mean, I was obviously very familiar with the program just because of its history. I mean, growing up, I watched like Marie-Philippe Poulin playing, and then just like that national team. I mean, it was kind of iconic to know like she went to BU. And obviously, my coach as well played in the Olympics. And they just had like such a rich history that it was kind of hard to not hear about them. And then, I mean, obviously, the men's program is also fantastic and has such a great history. So that's how I knew like coming here, the support for this program would be great. And I also the academics, it's a great school, it's a hard school, that's a good thing. That's also very important to me. But yeah, my parents supported my decision. I love it here, and it's best pick, honestly.
Yeah, awesome. Do you ever see yourself staying at BU for law school?
I'm not sure yet. I'm kind of torn right now whether I want to go back home, but if the opportunity was there, I would love to stay in Boston or maybe try it out. And yeah, it would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I've heard it's a pretty difficult law school, but ranks pretty
Yeah.
highly, so. Now, kind of going a little bit into this season so far. We've seen a lot of different lines, I feel like, so far this semester, and trying out different chemistry, moving things around. So last week you were with Riley Walsh, Greta Henderson. Previous week, Riley again, Clara Yoon. How is that adjustment like, switching things up? Does it come pretty naturally?
Honestly, it does come naturally. My whole life, I've had coaches who have thrown lines around, and I really don't see it as a bad thing. I've been like last season, I was playing wing a lot. I can play both positions. I've played with like everybody on my team last year, and then this season, I've played with a lot of different people. And really, like everyone on my team, I enjoy playing with and I enjoy being around. So it's really not that big of a deal when I come in and the lines have changed. It's just okay, readjust a little bit, but I know it's going to be fine. And it's also the type of thing like you should be able to play with everyone on your team. It shouldn't pose a challenge, and it's a good thing that it doesn't pose a challenge because I mean, I enjoy all my teammates and I think they're all fantastic hockey players. So if anything, it's a great opportunity to be able to play with new people all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And you saw some success last weekend. You had a shorthanded goal unassisted. Can you kind of talk through that moment, kind of what you saw and how that happened?
Yeah, so I mean, in our 5-on-4 play, like I kind of was just holding back if a puck squeaks out to kind of either get it down the ice, or if that's not an option, put it back into the zone to, not force anything. And then I read the girl came off the boards with the puck. I knew exactly where my stick was in the lane with the defender behind me. And that was really the only play she could make out of the zone. And I intercepted it. And it was early enough in my shift. I knew I had the energy to skate down. And I did, and kind of got the defender off her balance a little bit by cutting in, cutting out. And then I just kind of tried to drive the net and shot five full, just coming down with speed like that. The goalie may be expecting you to go up high, or, and I also saw it was open, and yeah, so it turned out well.
Is this something that you guys have been working on in practice?
I mean, like, we always work on special team stuff in practice. I think it was just kind of a moment of opportunity for me. I mean, shorthanded goals don't have to happen that often. I actually think that may have been one of my first shorthanded goals ever. Like,
Oh, wow.
it's very rare. And I mean, we scored two against UNH on Friday. But yeah, I was just kind of reading the play. My defenders made a good pin on the boards, and yeah.
I'm always curious, are you like when things like this are happening super fast, you're about to score, are you very in the moment, or do you ever sometimes feel like you black out like while it's happening?
It's a mix. I feel like I never play my best when I'm way too in the moment. It just kind of has to happen naturally, and I think that just comes with practice. And when you get those opportunities in games, you're confident and you just know you know what to do. I would say, yeah, I'm like in the moment a little bit. Just like look head up, look where the goalie's situated. Are they down? Are they up? Are they out of the net? Are they pushed more into the net? So your shot selection, and then reading the D's positioning as well coming down the ice. But that's just all from practice. I wouldn't say like I'm really overthinking it when I'm in the moment, but I guess like I kind of am, like a million thoughts per minute. But yeah, that just comes with practice and preparation, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. That's interesting to hear. And now Coach Watchorn earlier today was actually talking about you, and she said that you've stepped into like more of a leadership role this year and you're really settling in and very versatile. How do you think that you've grown into both like a player and a leader this year?
Yeah, I think honestly a big part of the strides I've taken for this year is confidence. I think coming in as a freshman, right from junior hockey, it can be very overwhelming. And it's a big step. I'm playing against players who are 5 years older than me, 4 years older than me. It's a lot. A lot of it has to do with confidence. And I think as the year progressed in my freshman year, I started to gain that back. And coming in this year, I felt over the summer I trained, I spent the time focusing on the stuff that, maybe I wasn't too sure about last season. And then coming in prepared like that helped me feel more situated and really helped me take on that role. But yeah, and also, I mean, I'm more comfortable with my environment. I know what to expect now, more comfortable with my teammates, and like everything in general, managing school and stuff. I know what to expect coming in. So it's a more easy feeling, and it's not as hard to adjust coming back from summer. And it's just a big thing with confidence. So yeah.
Definitely. I feel like that's probably a similar experience a lot of people have coming in as freshmen. You're not as confident, but it definitely builds over time. Do you have any goals for yourself this year?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my goal. I wanted to step into a, bigger role for the team. And I also just I want to play the way that I know I can and pick my teammates up while I'm playing like that. I mean, obviously some long-term goals. We want to win again. We want to win. We want to perform well, perform the way that we know that we can play the BU hockey that we know that we can play. But yeah, really, that's my goal, just coming in, being confident, playing the best that I can play. So.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of winning after Hockey East Championships last year, now facing Northeastern on Friday, do you feel more of a sense of rivalry with them having had all of those games last year and, eventually going on to win Hockey East?
Yeah, I mean, we see them a lot during the season, and it's always a good game. they're a very skilled team. They're a fast team. And I mean, so are we. So it's just always very competitive. And like last year, we would go 4-0 loss, 4-0 win, and then win overtime or whatever. We see them a lot. So I mean, this weekend, I'm excited. I know the team's looking forward to it. We feel like we've prepared well, and we're excited to get to work on Friday and on Saturday and really show that. And yeah, it's always exciting playing a rival. And I would say, yeah, like Northeastern would be kind of a rival, just because of hockey. I'm sure they feel the same way. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting weekend.
Yeah, especially being so close in Boston, I feel like there has to be a little bit of a rivalry there.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people have been talking about, the win last week, trying to build momentum, learning things from that, building off of that. Is there anything specific that you feel like in practice you've been trying to build off of from, success you saw last weekend?
Yeah, I think a lot of that success also had to do with, we obviously didn't want to get off to that type of start to our season. Like, it's always hard as an athlete and as like a team to come back from that. And I think that, focusing on the basics and bringing things back, not letting our mind get like our thoughts get away from ourselves, and trusting in our program and in the teammates beside me. And I think that with that success on Friday, having a great performance against UNH, it was really just about bringing things back to what we know and playing our hockey. And I think we've really demonstrated that. We played hard. We moved the puck well. We had really great chances. We capitalized on those chances, and we're really looking to bring that into this weekend.
And now this weekend, the game is actually on Halloween. So I'm curious, is there anything special you guys are doing for that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like people can dress up for the game. I mean, I don't know as a team if we're doing anything. I'm not sure if I'm dressing up to walk in on Friday. Maybe I will throw a little costume in there with maybe my other sophomore classmates, maybe a group costume, which would kind of be fun. But no, it's going to be an exciting day. I know BU loves to come out when we play Northeastern, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like doing a little costume for walk-ins, that could be fun. I'm sure you can't
Yeah.
do anything like actually on the ice.
No, but like that'd be pretty cool to come
Yeah.
in. Maybe I'll discuss that with them, come up
Yeah.
with
Well,
something.
listeners, stay tuned. Maybe you'll see a costume on Friday. Well, thank you so much to Kaylee Quigg for joining us this week on Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law Offices, where every case is personal. Go to everycasespersonal.com.
It takes a crazy bagel lover to make the best and freshest bagels, and that's who you will find at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel features only hand-rolled New York-style bagels crafted with precision and love to meet your high standards at their three locations: 171 Mass Ave, Lexington, 345 Washington Street, Woburn, and now open at 68 School Street, Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. Wicked Bagel.
After an accident, you need your attorney to understand what you're going through, and I do.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855 DiBella. Here, every case is personal.
Because of my brother's accident, I built a firm that treats clients like family.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855 DiBella. We understand.
Our gem of the week is BU goalie Michelle Pasechnik. The native of Ottawa, Ontario, backstopped the Terriers to their first win of the season. After beginning the campaign with disappointment in non-league games against some elite competition, BU claimed victory on home ice versus New Hampshire in their first Hockey East match. The 4-2 win was paced offensively by Sydney Healy's two-goal, one-assist performance, while Michelle stopped 27 Wildcat shots, including 15 in the third period, as the Terriers successfully protected a one-goal lead to the final minute. The former Clarkson netminder recorded her first win at BU and 75th of her illustrious college career. Next up for Tara Watchorn's club is a home-and-home with crosstown rival Northeastern, beginning Halloween night at Walter Brown Arena. Puck drop is 6 p.m. Our gem of the week is sponsored by DePrisco Jewelers, diamond jewelers for more than 70 years, offering unmatched experience with no high prices on only top-quality, certified, non-conflict diamonds. Call 617-227-3339 or make an appointment online at boston.deprisco.com. DePrisco Jewelers, located at 333 Washington Street at Downtown Crossing. Open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 4:30, and Saturday from 10 to 4. In love with love. All you need is love, and all are welcome at DePrisco Jewelers. Our BU in the Pros segment this week features Utah Mammoth forward Clayton Keller. The former Terrier has tallied better than a point per game with a 4-8-12 scoring line in 11 games so far this season. He has also displayed his 200-foot accountability with a plus 6. The 7th overall pick to the then Arizona Coyotes in the NHL draft, Keller won the Tim Taylor Award as the NCAA Rookie of the Year while playing for the Terriers, compiling a 19-21-40 scoring line in 31 games for the 2015-16 season. The season would end in a heartbreaking 3-2 overtime loss to eventual national champion Minnesota Duluth in the NCAA West Regional Final in Fargo, North Dakota. In the previous game, Keller's double overtime game-winning goal delivered BU to a dramatic 5-4 victory over defending national champion North Dakota in the regional opening round. Named captain of the Utah franchise last season, Keller has amassed 520 points in 611 career games. He is currently tied for the 7th best point total in the NHL this year. Our BU in the Pro segment is sponsored this week and every week by Eastern Clothing of Watertown. For 87 years, setting the standard with quality value and service to its customers. Visit easternclothing.com and set up an appointment or check them out on Facebook and Instagram. Eastern Clothing of Watertown, a premium experience without the elevated price tag. Thank you for joining us on our latest edition of Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law Offices, where every case is personal. Check their website, everycaseispersonal.com. I would like to thank my co-host, Kat Cornetta, correspondent Caitlin Beal, our producer, Brady Gardner, and BU Athletic Communications for making our program possible. Until next time, this is Bernie Corbett. Go Terriers!